Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like mindful sex, but we're more mind-blowing sex.
Something else. Oh. I'm Bibi Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
Miranda, what are we talking about today?
We are going to be talking about an app that will promise you how to have more mindful sex. And mind-blowing. Who knows? Two for one.
Oh, I'm very, very, very excited.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anna Hashlack, and I'm the co-founder and chief product officer of Furly.
Please welcome to the Good Sex, Bad Sex podcast, Dr. Anna Hushlack, the co-founder of the new sexual wellness app, Furly. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Furly is described as your audio guide to mindful sex, which I'm a little bit worried about is what people think they're going to get when they tune into this podcast.
A little bit of a surprise.
Which is two middle-aged women laughing about. So,
what? You're not middle-aged yet, Miranda.
Not yet. In my mind, I am.
Yeah, okay.
What is an audio guide to mindful sex?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think some people think it's going to be very zen and very chill, and actually it's a combination of kind of educational content. So what's a orgasm, what's desire, what's libido, what's communication, and those are kind of podcast style sciencey bits around it. And then we also have a combination of content that has erotic stories, and that's really about kind of exploring your boundaries and your fantasies in a way that's much more accessible. And then the third kind of stream of content we have in there are guided practices. So that's everything from kind of understand your sexual beliefs, how you learned about sex, how you feel about sex, how you feel about your body, and then also looking much more at like kind of applied practices, so mindful masturbation or intimacy practices with a partner. So the whole idea of it is how we can use audio content to help people have a better relationship to sex and to reframe sex in a way that's healthy, pleasurable, and confident. So that's kind of the rundown of what we do.
Why did you create this?
Well, so there's a couple of reasons around that. One, I think the way in which we've learned about sex has been pretty shit. It doesn't really matter which country you come from. Mm-hmm. And I think particularly for women and folks with vulvas, there hasn't necessarily been an education around pleasure. It's often kind of come out through a lens of don't have sex, don't get an STI, don't get pregnant, stay away from it altogether. And it's a very kind of negative, fear-based way of looking at it, or it's around like, this is your period, this is menstruation, this is here's a plastic cervix that's cut in half and we're going to look at the body that way.
All the fun stuff.
It's very removed from our kind of sensual experiences, from our connection between our mind and our body. There's not a lot of conversations around intimacy and the kind of more mental and emotional aspects of it, and there's really just nothing about pleasure in there. So I think for Billy being my co-founder, we had a lot of kind of questions coming into it around why can't women talk about sex and why can't we have pleasurable sex? And, if you also look at the kind of data and the statistics and the research around it, female pleasure has been entirely left out of the conversation. And I think there's a lot of shame and stigma and taboo around that. So for us, there was kind of an initial move of just wanting to normalize the conversation and to, give women and give ourselves permission to be able to enjoy sex and actually have pleasurable sex. So it kind of started through that lens. And then the other aspect of it was that both Billy and I came from backgrounds where we had negative experiences to sex. So in my case, that was sexual violence. In Billy's case, she was sexually assaulted at work. And I think there was also a big question around almost reclaiming our sexuality and not shying away from it and actually taking time to understand how we feel about sex, not just how we have it, and making sure that we're focused on sex is a thing that that kind of we feel, we exist, we become, as opposed to something that's just done to us. Yeah, so those are the kind of two main reasons. It's very much a work in progress, though.
But it looks like it looks fun. Like there's not that many sexual apps and things around sex these days that have the fun with them. Do you know what I mean?
Are you resisting saying dry, Miranda?
Moisture. One of the things that I liked about Furley was the blogs. So you've got so many different ones, like including yours and Billy's, which was about your sexual experiences and the sexual assault, but it wasn't done in a preachy kind of, well, this is why we're never going to have sex again. It was done, well, this is why we want to explore sex and help you explore sex and mindful sex.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because actually in some ways I think Billy and I, it's like we treat ourselves as experiments. So neither of us come from kind of like medical clinical backgrounds. Neither of us have ever had kind of any professional experience before this around this domain going into it. And so I think it was interesting because it's, I think part of it is, you know, we're kind of testing it on ourselves and we're in our own journey with it and we're exploring it. And I think we definitely found that a lot of the limitations around this topic is, you know, as we said, it's often either on one hand, almost like hypersexualized and can be not, I mean, cringy is maybe not the right word, but it can be if you're struggling with sex or you've got kind of if you're not coming from a very sex positive background and you haven't necessarily gained the confidence around the topic or you feel anxious about it or kind of uncertain about it, that can be really intimidating as a place to start. And then on the other hand, if you're coming in and you're kind of, you know, you're going to the gum clinic and there's like, again, the like everything's kind of chlamydia, gonorrhea, really important topics, and sexual health is so fundamental, but it also feels, it doesn't have that sensuality, it doesn't have that like, how do I learn by doing, how do I experience, and also just like the awkwardness and the, you know, sex is not, it's messy, it's confusing, it's wonderful, but it's also like, what's going on? And I think for us it was really, how do we create something that just feels everyday, relatable, and that actually showcases that like awkwardness and that juxtaposition of like really cool but really shitty but really exciting but really lonely but really fun but really empty sometimes, and all these different emotions in one thing, and we're all going through it.
I don't know whether you're describing your app or my life now.
I think it's probably all of our lives.
So we've been doing this podcast for a few years, haven't we? 3 years? And I'm a lot older, so I'm 54. And I'd hope that this was different for people now, especially women now. And it's kind of when we talk to people, I feel like it is, because we meet so many people who are sex positive and who have great experience and great attitude towards sex. And then on your website, there's this stat. So you feel like with 2020, things have to have moved on. And then on this, and then the people I meet and Miranda and I meet seem to perpetuate that we've moved on. And then yet on your site, there's this stat: 51% of female identifying individuals in the UK, if we're just talking UK, aged between 16 and 64, experience pain, anxiety, and discomfort while having sex. 51%.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was the thing that was so shocking for us, and it's so easy to kind of forget, because I think certainly like we've found in this journey, we tend to exist in very sex positive circles, and it's not actually the norm. And I think that's the thing that we found so shocking is, yeah, so the that stat comes from the NATSL study, which was looking at the National Attitude Survey around sexual behaviors and lifestyle. And I think it ran from 2010 to 2012. So also not like, you know, not last year, but not that long ago. And the other thing about it is it's looking, you know, so they've also, a lot of that stat also relates to people who've experienced one or more of those symptoms. And it tends to be over a 3-month period or longer as well. So it's to me, I think that was the thing that was just so surprising, yet also not surprising, that it's still so unbelievably common. And I think, you know, there is this shame around it. There is this taboo around it. You think about kind of sex and relationship education in the UK, and, you know, that's only just starting to come out. And then you also think about our cultural upbringings, you know, and certainly for me, like masturbation was not something that was spoken about. And it's not that it was discouraged. It just wasn't, it was something that was kind of kept in secret and behind closed doors. And I know certainly with our audience and the kind of women we speak to, the recurring conversations around, like, I don't know how to touch myself, or I feel self-conscious about touching myself, or I don't know how to communicate with a partner, or, you know, I'm worried about my body and how I look, or I'm worried about not being able to orgasm. And I think there's all these topics in these conversations that actually, certainly in the UK, that, you know, it's showing that the majority of women don't actually have that sex positive relationship. And I think that for us is this, you know, this why we're on this mission to help everybody move into a much more sex positive space.
And I just want to just point out, because your website and your app is very trans friendly. So when you're saying women, you're mm-hmm. saying women in the very trans friendly way.
Yeah, absolutely. And we use which has been an interesting kind of discussion in and of itself. So we actually use women with an X. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is to be more inclusive in terms of whether you have a vulva, but you don't necessarily identify as a woman, kind of be more inclusive to that broader spectrum, be more inclusive to the trans community as well, then also including women of color, and then also kind of looking at, you know, there's debates around that. Women with the spelling with the E, there's kind of controversy around whether that then becomes an offset of men as a category. So I think there's the reason we wanted to actually frame it that way was to be as inclusive as possible. That being said, some of the practices in there are, they do, you know, for example, the guided masturbation is talking about touching your clitoris, touching your vulva. So there are some practices in there that are kind of biology specific. But again, you know, regardless of your gender and how you identify, those practices are accessible. And then there's also a lot of practices that deal much more with the mental and the emotional sides. And, you know, again, regardless of where you sit on the gender, on the kind of gender spectrum, those are available to all of us. And we do actually have a lot of men coming in there as well. And interested in some of those practices, and they are still relevant to them as well.
What is ridiculous?
That's BB's Tourette's coming in. I'm sorry. She just shouts that out at random occasions.
It's so
embarrassing in Sainsbury's. Sex is ridiculous.
But I mean, we always talk about masturbation on the tube, and then people look at you and we're just like, yeah, masturbation. Yeah. And it's like, no, all right, got to tone it down a little bit.
Guys can talk about wanking all day long, but when a girl does it, I've gotten chucked off TFL so many times. Just rude.
GMTB, all of them. GMB, BBC, no, don't.
Speaking of which, so you've got erotic plays on there. So what?
Hang on, darling.
Let me get the smell of the grease paint. All I'm saying is that me and BB we've got equity cards. We're up for auditioning. It's
fine. Not our equity cards, but we do have.
Normally we're invite only, but we're happy to do an audition for you.
Definitely take you up on that.
I'm not auditioning. With this back? What kind of stuff do you have in your plays? I love the sound of this.
There's actually quite a range, and it's interesting again because we've noticed that
quite strange, darling. Talk to my agent. I've got range. I'm fine.
She can play an idiot. And a moron. An idiot to an imbecile. She can do it all.
A sexy idiot. Thank you very
much. Sexy idiot. Sorry.
Sorry.
I feel like we could, you know, I mean, there's some stories we could start plotting and mapping out on this, but that's probably an entirely different conversation. So the range we've got in there kind of varies in terms of, I don't know, much more, say, romantic and a bit softer. And that's, again, for people that are coming in and they're kind of new to this, to more explicit, and that comes in both in terms of like acts and language. So that might be, you know, your sexy masseuse has come over and, you know, you end up having some session on the table too. I'm on a holiday with a partner and we've gone to Greece and it's much more kind of slow and sensual in that way. So it kind of depends on where you're coming in. And then there's also a range of voices. So we've got some male voices in there and some female voices in there, majority female at the moment, but changing that up. The British accent tends to be the most popular one. So we've got the majority.
Oh, right, sweet cheeks. That's right.
Not BB's accent. For Irish, though, so we'll see.
Oh, no! Don't get started on the Irish accent. Oh, no. Here she comes. Should we start in? Should we do it? Well, my dad was Irish.
No, look. Miranda, you're the worst agent on earth. The worst. So the Brit accent is good. So it's men and women. You've got mainly women's voices at the moment, but you're going to get some men there in there as well.
So I'm auditioning as a male Irish masseuse. Should we do a role play? Can I do my audition? Do you want my show reel?
I would love to hear it. Yeah, go on.
Okay, all right. Hello there, baby. Would you like a massage? Would you get on my table and I can sort your shoulders out? No problem. Do I pass? Is that...
Anna, can I apologise for my racist co-host? I mean, she's still, it's lockdown. She was honestly fine before lockdown, but she's
actually exploring an alternative career side, a secret hobby.
She's very talented.
I think you're drawing up my contracts right now. Thank you.
What else do you have on the what have you got in terms of the practices?
So in the practices, there's a range. So some of it is much more around guided masturbation, and a lot of that is where we kind of bring in some of those more mindful type tools. So for example, exploring your body without the focus of necessarily having to get off. So often I think when it comes to that, the way in which we've learned how to masturbate, if we've even learned how to masturbate, it's often focused on kind of orgasm as a goal and how do I get, you know, vibrator, speed 10, 2 minutes, and I'm done. And we tend to masturbate in the same way for most of our lives. So one of the things we try and do with the guided practices is we try and get our community to actually slow down and to explore their body more holistically. So thinking about all of their erogenous zones, their neck, their ear, their breasts, their nipples, the inside of their legs. And also
their
looking
leprechaun.
Yeah, the leprechaun. And also looking at how we can use different tempos, different types of touch, you know, squeezing versus feathering or fast versus slow. And it's this idea of actually really starting to explore your body and then also learning what you like and just as much what you don't. So there's some practices in there around that. And some of that is guided in a much more meditative way, and some of it we've integrated with fantasy and erotica. So it's imagining you're on a beach and you have this voice kind of guiding you through it, but also talking about what they would do to you and what they would like to do with you, versus ones that are much more around take a deep breath in, breathe out, sink into your body, trace your collarbone, squeeze your breasts. And so it's, they're kind of different flavors, if you would, in the mindful masturbation. And then we also have stuff that's much more focused on actually using a kind of cognitive behavioral therapy approach to it. So looking at reframing our beliefs, looking at building confidence, looking at tackling kind of our inner critic. And when we speak negatively to ourselves, or we talk about the shoulds or with the need tos or the musts, and really try and help people to almost check themselves when they start using that language, and then start to actually understand, the relationship to sex and how they feel about it, as opposed to just focusing on the kind of physical side of it or the doing.
Is there a danger of making this more pressure?
I think there's always a danger of that. But I think definitely what we've found with our community so far is that a lot of that comes down in terms of like the language you use, the tone you use, etc. But actually,
I think if anything, it's a release because there's a sense of I'm not alone and I don't need to hide from this topic. And there's these questions that I've had and I haven't known where to go or how to ask. And there's so much misinformation, and actually reframing sex to be much more about something you experience and something that is in flux. So sometimes you have a good day, a bad day, you know, sometimes an average day, and that's all right. As opposed to, you know, this romantic idea of sex or this kind of like, very, I don't know, everybody's orgasming and it's really hot and it's really heavy and sex looks like this. And I think actually what we've found is it allows people to create a much more realistic and personal idea of what sex means to them. And in doing that, that takes a lot of the pressure off.
And right. You've got that on, because one of the things you've got on your mission statement is about how the Holy Grail is great sex. And then, but what does that mean? And it, who is it great for and everything? So if someone if someone's listening and they're like, oh, will this help me find great sex? What would you say to them?
Yeah, and I guess the first thing would be back of like, what does great sex actually mean to you? Mm-hmm. And it is interesting because we've spoken a lot with, you know, with our community about that. And the thing that often comes up before they start using us is great sex is orgasm. You know, orgasm is a big, big thing that comes up in there. A lot of the time, great sex is consensual, it's mutual, it's two-way. And then when we kind of check in with them after they've been using us, great sex still often includes the consensual and the respect and the mutual side of it. Orgasm tends to be less of a focus, and actually what becomes the focus is pleasure and realizing that pleasure is so much more than orgasm. Mm. So that might be connection with myself, with my body. That might be intimacy with a partner. That might be a feeling of being present to my body and getting out of my head and not worrying. That might be a sense of like playfulness and fun and experimentation. And I think, yeah, that would be... I don't think we can define great sex as any one thing. I think it's, you know, whatever it means to you, because this is your experience, your feelings, your body, your pleasure. But we definitely do notice this shift in moving away from sex about being a goal, and sex often being defined as, you know, penetrative sex as well. That results in orgasm and often results in, if it's in a heterosexual situation, often results in male orgasm. And this kind of narrative we've been fed around that. And I think definitely what we're finding is that actually great sex is about, you know, whatever feels good to you and however you define good, and you define pleasure and you define consensual and you define respect and all of those kind of things in one.
I love that you're saying all this, because Miranda and I, we've interviewed, you know, when we've interviewed people, Tanya Adib from the Menopause Clinic, you know, the menopause expert, and I've written a lot about older sex, and sex changes when you get older, in the way you were just saying that, you know, we masturbate in the same way. We kind of seem to do it forever and ever and ever. And that might, you know, we could mix that up a bit. In the same way, exactly what you say, that sex doesn't have to be penetrative as you get older. It doesn't have to be, orgasm doesn't have to be the goal. And you can, and that's why there was a stat, and because I am 54, I can't remember. there was a stat that was something like a third of women, I think it was a Love Honey one, and they're saying something like a third of women are having the most adventurous sex they've ever had at 50 plus. And what they were defining by that was, wasn't necessarily swinging from chandeliers. It was sex that was working for them, and it's adventurous because they've kind of pushed the boundaries of what they used to do. And it didn't have to be crazy S&M, not crazy, you know, S&M isn't crazy, but it didn't have to be extreme for them. It just was finding what was for them.
Well, and I think that's a really like phenomenal point, right? Like what works for them, what works for you. And I think, you know, part of the reason it feels adventurous is because we're actually for the first time starting to actually learn what working for us means.
Yeah.
As opposed to just kind of, I don't know, going through what we're supposed to do or what we think we're supposed to do. And I mean, there's interesting conversations around how porn has kind of influenced that, you know, how a lack of conversation around pleasure has influenced that, around how gender roles influence that. And I think it's, as well as just the general kind of shame and stigma and taboo around it, and this nervousness around communication. And, you know, actually we do have, we just ran a 7-day program a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we did have some women in that were kind of 50s plus, and they were saying, you know, some of the stuff we're not so worried about. Body image, we feel pretty comfortable with our bodies, and that's less of an issue for us. But the big one is that actually libido or mixing things up or experimenting in new ways or using toys in a way that we hadn't before and using toys with a partner or, you know, trying new things. And a lot of that, you know, in their conversation with them was just because they'd actually never really had the opportunity to sit down and say, what do I want to do? What do I not want to do? What am I curious about, but I haven't tried? What are all these kind of like, quote, new things coming up, or just like advancements in technologies and toys that are very different than when, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? And how do we explore and experiment with that?
Yeah,
isn't God, they're sex very different.
I told you, it's a Tourette's again. She shouts that out in Sainsbury's as well. It's absolutely. But like sex toys are so different to what they were 5 years ago. Like thing, like being able to use an app on the different side of the world that will control something that's with your partner, you know, thousands of miles away. It's you know, it's so great. I feel like I'm discovering them because of this podcast. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily have discovered them just by looking at a website. Do you know what I mean? I'd have been a bit scared to try them.
Well, and also it can be overwhelming of where do I start? And, you know, it's again, it was interesting, like these, you know, some of the women in this community were saying, okay, cool. Like I want to, I've been a bit intimidated about this. I don't know where to start. There's like, you know, some of the time I look at them and they're like pretty intimidating, bright pink rabbits with like, you know, all this and all that. And it was interesting because even, you know, I was, this was a strange conversation to start having with your mom, but it shouldn't be strange.
Oh, no, I can't hear this.
I'm thinking about getting my mom a vibrator. And it was
Hang on.
How do we kind of think about, almost like beginner tools for people who've been having sex for, you know, for quite a while, but just haven't necessarily known where to start in terms of using toys and tools, and knowing that actually there's such a range from kind of less intimidating kind of discovery began new to like, you know, again, let's totally try something a bit, not radical is not the right word, but there's certain toys I probably wouldn't get from my mom at this stage.
That's good to hear, Anna. Good to know you've got some boundaries.
She might be curious, but I feel like, yeah, that's probably all let her explore on her own.
Miranda, you were saying something really brilliant to me. I was going to, about lockdown, how it's going to, how do we face sex again?
Exactly. I was just about to ask, because like, I just, you know, the big L word, lockdown. So you can have like, for me, like looking online, there seems to be two different types of people, which are going to be the ones who are nervous about having sex again. You know, we've all, body shapes have changed. Some of us may or may be not been convinced that the world's going to end and just going to eat all the chocolate and all the ice cream and everything we've been denying ourselves for years.
All the good stuff.
You know, loved it every second of it. So there may be the people that are just and that are just nervous about meeting someone and having actual face to face, you know, well, their face in your face.
That was beautiful.
Beautiful put. So you get those types of people, but then you've got the ones that just might need to be told to slow the fuck down. Who are just like, right, the pubs are opening on July the 4th. Off I fucking go. So what would be your advice for the people that are a bit nervous about meeting someone again or having sex again? You know, maybe they've got whatever, got a partner and they're just like, oh, now we have to meet up. And the ones that are just like, right, I'm ready. I'm rampant. I'm ready to go.
I'm on it.
On it like a car bonnet.
I mean, I can start with the ones who are on it. I would say the ones who are on it, great. Let's keep in mind that Corona hasn't fully disappeared and we don't want to go in lockdown again. So, like, let's still be mindful about having good practices as well as just thinking about sexual health and making sure that we're doing that on and on the bonnet in a responsible way.
So how, though? How do we do that? How would we make sex safe?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, yeah, I think, well, already I think in terms of safe sex, there's already kind of practices we do need to be thinking about, which, I mean, isn't interesting, probably again, a different conversation, but I think, you know, often we think, okay, cool, you know, someone's on birth control, again, depending on the kind of sexual orientation and whatnot, so we don't need to wear condoms. And it's like, well, you do still need to wear condoms, regardless of like contraception or not. So general baseline rule, regardless of who you're having sex with, what you're doing, you know, thinking about sexual health in that way.
I think more what I meant from that was the people that are just like, right, I need to go out because I need to have sex. Mm. But from what I would, you know, maybe on your, on Furley is like, well, why do you feel the need to have sex when you can happily have a lovely time by yourself? Do you know what I mean? Well, is there?
Yeah. And I think it's also I wonder if it's about needing to have the sex or if it's about like we need human connection and just miss touch, for example, or we miss good banter, or we miss being able to, like, I don't know, have that kind of face to face flirting and that kind of, like, I don't know, that aspect of things or intimacy. And I think I guess the question back, or like the kind of thinking out loud, is like, I don't know that that's related to just sex, or if that's, you know, by default, whether you're introverted or extroverted, like, we are social creatures, and it's been, you know, difficult to say the least, I think, for people to be so isolated. And so I think, you know, sex might be a tool for some of us to then say, I've been feeling really lonely, I've been feeling really isolated, I've been missing touch, I've been missing intimacy, so I'm just going to go and have a bunch of wild sex. And I suppose from a Furley lens, the question would be, is that actually what it's about? You know, is it about sex, or is it about that you've been feeling lonely, you've been missing intimacy, you've been missing human connection? And how do you focus on getting those aspects and kind of filling those cups up instead of necessarily using sex as a tool to do that?
Oh my God, sex is so confusing.
But also so great.
It's great. I hate it. I love it.
I'm so confused by it. Going shopping with BB is, it's just so... Oh, God, I can't step into one Tesco's and hope now. It's completely... embarrassing. And on the other side of that, on the flip side of that, is the people that are nervous about exposing their body, maybe, and you know, seeing someone again.
And I guess, like, with that group, I think it's this thing of, like, that's okay. Like, I think if your head's not in it, your body's never going to be able to be in it. And I think that's a big thing. Like, it's, you know, there's
That's a t-shirt. Oh, well, I like that. Like, your head's not in it, your body's not going to be in it.
Yeah. And it's that thing of, like, you know, our sexiest organ is actually our brain, and that idea that sex happens between your ears, not between your legs. And I think that, like, that
there's
type
a whole
of thinking,
range there. And
a whole other product line.
Yes. Oh, there you go. Me and BB will sort out your merchandise.
We'll do that. So has there been any change to your content on your app and your site because of lockdown?
Not necessarily on the app or the site. I think what we've noticed is more in our community, the topics and the conversations that people are having are shifted. So they've been much more around, for example, exploring masturbation. So we've been in lockdown and we're on our own and we are kind of craving something, and actually, you know, how do we masturbate? How do we touch ourselves? How do we actually do that in a way that feels much more like self-pleasure and slowing down and actually almost going on a date with ourselves? And even broader than that, like, how do we have a date with ourselves? So get ready, a slow shower and put some candles on, or, you know, wear lingerie for yourself and, like, actually treat yourself as if you were on a date with yourself.
Would someone do that?
I mean, we've definitely I'm living with my parents right now, so it's for me. I think they'd be a bit like, mwah.
I think you've already pushed it a little bit with your parents already. I wouldn't. I think you putting on lip gloss is the least of your worries with your parents right now.
It's probably a bit of that. It's been a learning process for them as well. But definitely we do have, like, practices. And when we did do this 7-day program, like, one of the big things we recommend was, like, block out an evening and just go on a date with yourself, and give yourself permission to slow down, to create space, to create, think of it as self-care, you know, the same way that we take time creating, like, a really amazing dinner and slowing down and eating, or we take time to go for a walk and, you know, get movement in. We should be doing the same thing for our sexual well-being. It's just as important as those other aspects. Or, you know, the same way we focus on getting a good night's sleep. You know, I think that's to us is how we understand it, is it's not this like indulgent thing you just do. It's as critical to your overall health and well-being as every other thing that we integrate into being, you know, in a healthy, positive mindset. And I think then the other side of it is if you're, you know, we also have the in our community, the people who've been in lockdown with a partner or partners. And I think the topics that we see coming up with that are, like libido, for example, or communication or dealing with conflict. And how do we kind of work through this together and make sure that, you know, we call it like the kitchen sink argument, where the dishes pile up and then you have this massive argument that's not even about any of the things you think it is. It's just because you didn't put the dishes away. And so I think we've kind of noticed those would be certain themes that come up. One is around the how do I explore by myself and what does pleasure by myself mean? And the other one is, you know, I'm been stuck with my partner and I love them, but I'm going, you know, this is not always the easiest thing and we're fighting about these ridiculous things, or we like haven't been having sex at all and does this mean our relationship's over, and how do we reignite it, how do we spark it, how do we create space for it, how do we you know, boost desire, how do we communicate, how do we create a ritual together around it, how do we make it different, and those would be the kind of main themes that we've definitely see coming up as a result of lockdown.
Do you think it's bad that I'm secretly hoping a few couples do break up?
Do you know, interestingly, there's probably, it's this question of like, it probably brings out the not the true nature of a couple, but on one hand, I've seen some couples that, friends of mine that have gone in and I'm like, you guys just should not be together because this is exacerbated the tensions that were already there before. And then I've got other friends that have gone in and actually came out engaged. And it's I mean, get through this, you can get through anything. And that's phenomenal. So I suppose there's probably like, if you're in a relationship, it's probably, I don't know, not like making it or breaking it, but you kind of could go either way.
Are you ever just tempted to say to someone, just buy a dishwasher, just get a dishwasher?
That's the whole advice on the app and website. That
get a cleaner in once a week, you know, go out for a date night whilst your cleaner's in and sort yourselves out.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's, and this is why I don't create well-being apps.
I'm gonna put a dishwasher with it. Yeah.
I am, however, available for all range of plays. All range.
Yeah. She is very, very good. What was your range again, Miranda?
Very good. Sexy idiot and erotic moron. That's all. those are reviews by Dame Bebe Bernard Lynch there.
I feel like that's like basically the 90s rom-com.
Hilarious. Anna, before we make you go, before we throw you off, what would you say are your top three tips for mindful sex?
So I think the first one would be taking time to, and so, I mean, there's an interesting thing. There's a difference between masturbation and self-pleasure, which I actually didn't realize. And this was entirely new to me that I've discovered in the last few years. And so, you know, when we talk about that kind of touching yourself in the same way with the intention of just getting off and almost like scratching an itch, that tends to be more what we think of as masturbation. And when we talk about self-pleasure, that's much more of the going on a date with yourself, slowing down, exploring what you like, touching yourself in different ways. And so in terms of like tip number one, I would say take time to explore the self-pleasure side of it instead of the masturbation side of it. So, you know, put some music on, put some candles on, take 30 minutes or however long you need, and actually just explore your body and play with touch, play with tempo, play with different places, with the intention of not getting off. You know, I'm going to set yourself the challenge of this isn't about orgasm. This is about getting to know my body. So that would be number one. Mm-hmm. I think number two would be, challenge yourself to actually think about how you feel about sex rather than how you have it. You know, and that could be something as simple as writing down a list of you know, things that you enjoy, things that get you in the mood, and then thinking about why, as well as creating a list of things you don't like, and then thinking about why. And so I would say the big thing is, again, understanding how you feel it and knowing the why, and not just focusing on the what and the how you do it. And then tip number three.
Download Furly.
Download Furly. Oh,
she's good. I've got to employ her. She's too good.
I mean, Download Furly is in there, definitely. And we're also launching it on Android in the next little bit. At the moment, we're only on iOS, but Android is coming. So we will be, we're there for the Android users.
Do you really want those users involved?
We don't want to exclude. We're open to everyone. We don't judge.
Anna, when we go on a date with ourselves, who pays?
Ooh, question. I mean,
I pay, but the world benefits.
You know, it's interesting. Like that's an interesting comment though, because like, why would we be comfortable going on a date or buying gifts for others or that kind of thing? But when it comes to buying something for ourselves or treating ourselves, sometimes we feel a little bit uncomfortable about that. So yeah, actually being able to go on a date and pay for oneself is probably a sense of saying, you know, I'm cool with it, I'm worth it, I deserve it, and I'm badass, and I'm going to pay for myself.
There's your third badge. There it is.
I mean, it's a big badge. It's a banner, maybe, but it's still there.
It's a banner I will happily hang from my window so that people know what I'm doing 24/7. Thank you, Anna. That was so fascinating. So where can people get more Furly?
So they can go to the App Store, and it is under Furly, F-E-R-L-Y. We do occasionally get the people wondering if it's F-U-R-L-Y, and we're like, I mean, that would be clever on the fur combination, but no, we're actually F-E-R-L-Y. And then you can also check out our website if you're interested in learning more about us, which is www.wearefurly.com.
I really want to ask why, but I know you're going to say something that's going to make me feel really stupid, but why is it called Furly?
No, that's a great question. So Furly is an old English word that actually used to be used to describe the kind of frightful, mythical creatures that lived in the woods that we were really scared of, and that were kind of considered through a very negative lens. And then over the last few hundred years, the word was reclaimed to actually mean the kind of things we don't know much about, but that are awe-inspiring and marvelous. So we thought it was a really nice...
I love it. You could have just called it Twitter.
Yeah.
Has that been taken?
We just thought it was a really nice play on female sexuality. That, you know, traditionally it's something that throughout history has kind of been stigmatized and shamed and completely ignored, if not feared. And actually now we're working towards this movement of reclaiming it and, you know, kind of tackling the pleasure gap, tackling gender equality, and really owning our sexuality and our pleasure.
Ah, brilliant.
Beautiful.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
Hey, it's been a pleasure.
Okay, bye. Miranda.
Oh, BB. That was my erotic moron.
Oh, BB. Your range is extensive. I'm not joking. I really think Anna's going to hire you.
I think so.
It might be for a catering gig, but she... But it might be to be in one of
those. You are the worst stage mom ever.
Wasn't she brilliant? I loved it. Would you go on a date with yourself?
Yes.
Would you?
Well, when she was talking about it, I was like, oh, God, that's what I do on a Tuesday. It sounds great. Just, you know, have a glass of wine, get in the shower, put my lingerie on. I mean, admittedly, that's probably because I've got a bit of early onset Alzheimer's and I think something's going to happen. In fairness, I haven't done that. And I think it's something nice to do. Like every time I sort of go to the shops or something, like, you know, when you pick up a face pack or like a nail varnish, but then you sit there and you're like, oh, I'll save that for a special occasion.
Yeah.
And same as like, I don't know, like a bath bomb or something. And it's like, no, fuck it. Just use your bath bomb, put your face mask on and have a little night in and just appreciate yourself. And then I think we should do more of that. How about you?
I agree with you. And I hate to quote Oprah. guess what I'm going to do? I can't remember the quote, but again, because I'm 54. But it was something on the lines of, don't buy something, a really beautiful dress and say, oh, that's for special. Mm. Wear it.
Yeah.
You know, have that feeling. And it is true. And I must say, at the beginning of lockdown, I was definitely like, oh, man, I'm not exfoliating. Because I like to exfoliate, as you know. And I was like, I can't be bothered with that shit. And then actually, I've started doing it again and moisturised. I'm thinking, I feel better.
Yeah.
I do feel better. And I'm doing my little workout. So I'm kind of weirdly taking care of myself. You know what I find a little bit depressing and is that we still need this app? Because yeah. I really do think, it's really, do you think, like, the pressure of social and Insta and all that kind of stuff has regressed us or maybe given us a platform to be able to talk about what is still bothering us, and therefore that is advancing the cause?
I think it's become very regressive, because I think you've got it's become more puritan. It's made you feel like you have to be more puritanical, so you can't, you know, there are so many people that are like, oh my god, nip slip or something like that, and you've got all these Instagrammers and YouTubers where they have to be so puritanical, they can't say the wrong thing, they can't do the wrong thing, and it's, you know, it kind of becomes a witch hunt if you do. So I think you know, there are loads of people who are like, well, how do I learn about sexuality? How do I, and I don't mean sexuality as in like gender and gender studies, because that's actually very prevalent and very great, but as in just like exploring your own body without, you know, still without being called a slut or having to turn to pornography.
Yeah.
So I think it's, yeah, I just think that, and because Instagram and YouTube, it is all filtered, and you know, I'm looking at YouTube, and you can look at YouTube and Instagram and see all these people with these lovely filters on, because they've got all the lighting and they've got these lovely cameras. And now we're starting to look on Zoom, and you look on Zoom on your camera and you're like, oh my god, I look like dog plops. Like,
oh, well, that's what you dog plops. Dog plops. Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, I do face yoga. I can believe my face. I can't believe you never told me about my face.
You've got a lovely face.
Thank
Doesn't
you.
Doesn't look like dog plops at all.
Dog plops. I think it's fascinating. It's a great, this app sounds great. I think, and Anna was brilliant, wasn't she?
Yeah, she sounds great. And they've got some really great practitioners on there. So it just sounds, and like she said, with the community. So it seems accessible as well. Yeah. If you're not too sure and you do feel like, oh, these mindfulness exercises are a bit beyond me, then it sounds great that you can go into the community and just go, where do I start? What do I do? Where do I start?
Yeah. Dip your little toe in. Yeah, I love it. I am still worried about who's going to pay for this date, but who's going to accept these vouchers?
These out-of-date vouchers.
Exactly that. Who's going to check how out-of-date they are? I've been Bibi Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex is a metro.co.uk podcast, and it was produced by the brilliant Juliet Nichols.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can. We're on all the socials, like Instagram and Twitter, Good Sex, Bad Sex with a triple X at the end.
And you can, if you have any queries or any subjects that you'd like us to talk about, we are info@sexpod.co.uk.
There she goes.
There you go.
And maybe we might even see you next week. Oh, that was my, that was me quoting opera.
Wow.
No.
Wow, that actually happened. Wow.
There's this little bit of a barrel left, let me scrape it out.